you got some tricks up your sleeve, bro.
Here they are. Nothing's coming out.
A bunch of nothing.
Yeah, just hair from my hands and arms.
Wait, your hair collects in your...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
My sleeves. And then if I shake my sleeves, there's like a hairball that comes out.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Great start of an episode again.
you asked for this.
We've done it again. Oh, yeah. We're talking about... Well, when this episode will come out, this will be old news, I guess.
It's already old news.
It is already old news. Yeah, because it's from February. It's the end of February.
But... why I say old news is because this has been going on for a while.
Sure, yeah, that's true.
What are we talking about, though?
Yeah, we are talking about CSS tricks. The funny thing is that if we have a lot of young people listening, they probably don't even know what it is.
Probably not. What is CSS tricks?
Yeah, so CSS tricks. CSS tricks is a great website where you can read a lot of tech tips, articles, yeah. And it's all developer-based.
Like front-end dev, right?
Yeah, front-end. So, I mean, this website used to be like the best place to go for new experimental CSS stuff, for example.
Oh, yeah. Like working with SVG back in like 2015 and how you use all the properties of like SVG elements.
And sometimes they had like weird and interesting animations done with like pure CSS and...
Yeah.
You know,
and what about this new HTML tag that nobody uses? Oh my God, it's actually natively a built-in modal.
Yeah.
And they talk about that stuff.
So it was like a place where you could read about new technologies, how to use them. And there was also like sprinkled in there a little bit of like, you know, just fun blog post, I guess. It was not like... It was a mix between technical and not technical, I guess.
And you had comments of people who read the posts and the articles, and you would have discussions about the technology and how they would implement it.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool because you could see, like, not from an expert their opinion and how to use it, but also from people who are trying to use it and never heard of it, and they come across certain issues with that technology.
Yeah.
And you would have a back and forth with an expert right there, and you could, like, read what the issues are.
Yeah, so it's like if you would compare it to something nowadays, I guess it would be dev.to, I guess.
Dev.to.
But dev.to is, I think it's open, right? Everyone can.
I can make an account and start blasting some.
Yeah, some BS. Bullshit. Yeah, exactly. And that's what happens on dev.to. Hey.
Yep. It's not curated.
No.
It's a completely open community.
Yeah. I mean, that's. Great and also not great.
It's democracy, and democracy works.
Well,
look at Reddit. Reddit is the perfect. Okay, let's stop it right there.
Yeah, that as soon as Reddit comes in, you know, something is wrong.
It's gonna go downhill. Downvote.
I think democracy only works when someone has like control over it.
So,
in a way, like someone is monitoring it, and you know, make sure that all the
there's like a totalitarian regime.
So it's not democracy.
That implements democracy.
Yeah, I guess. It's just like there's a lot of shit on dev, to be honest. But I don't know. The fun thing about CSS tricks was that it was all like curated, right? And it was all run by people who know their stuff or knew their stuff, I guess. But what happened?
Yeah, what did happen? I knew about CSS tricks. Like there was something going on. There was drama, but...
Yeah,
I didn't know what the hell was going on. I also didn't know they were acquired, apparently, by DigitalOcean.
I mean, I have to say, like, CSS tricks was getting a bit stale and old in a way, right? I mean...
Kind of. They updated their website a couple years ago, and yeah, that was like, oh my God, what did they... Oh my God, what did they do?
That's what I mean. Like, it was an upgrade and a downgrade at the same time, and it's... I don't know. It looks a bit old and dated.
It's something like what happened to The Verge.
Oh man, I haven't been there for a while, but
you don't remember The Verge? How can you forget about this hideous?
Oh yeah, now I do.
Like when CSS Tricks updated their design, I kind of had like The Verge flashbacks. Or was The Verge after CSS Tricks? But anyway, in any case, it's like they're trying to be hip, but they also don't know exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's trying to be TikTok.
No, seriously. Like, everyone is trying to be, like, quirky and different and, you know, whatever, we don't care about the rules.
Yeah, look at this unconventional design that will blow your mind and you will lose track of where you were in the article.
Yeah, and you know, we know what's more important than, you know, the article itself, a bunch of things related to other articles.
Oh my God. You're reading this? Nah, you're not.
No, here's you don't want this.
An excerpt from another article right in your article.
You don't want this.
It's not an ad.
You want this.
The funny thing is, all these things look like ads.
Yeah.
But you can't block them because they're not ads. It doesn't get blocked. You can block them with ad block. Just select the element. But
yeah,
my point is, it's created to keep you like confused and also entertained at the same time, where you're like stuck on the website.
So if that was the case, right?
Yeah.
You would put it below the article. So someone reads the article and then it's like, you know.
No, that was the old way of doing things. Now people have a very limited attention span.
Yeah, they just read like two lines and they're like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, what's the other articles
about?
What's
this?
Let me swipe up and see the next TikTok video.
I hate people nowadays.
But I think the modern design of websites are influenced by social media that is very modern, TikTok.
Not only that, but like if a company sees the success of something like that, they're like, oh, we should also do this.
what is like their like way of interaction with users?
Yeah.
And it's like quick and then, very witty things.
And then like after TikTok, you get like every app trying to recreate something in like TikTok does, like, I don't know, Instagram Reels and you know, Snapchat was like, before TikTok, I guess, but TikTok kind of...
WhatsApp improved. Has like stories.
WhatsApp, Telegram has it.
Facebook has it. Twitch has it.
Twitch Facebook. Has YouTube.
Everyone is like a TikTok.
Yeah, because everyone is like, oh yeah, money. More, please.
Oh my God.
The money is here.
Money doesn't taste... Have you ever had a paper bill in your mouth?
Have you had nickel lager? Sorry, it's an always funny joke. Never mind.
Lager beer?
It's an always sunny joke. I'm sorry.
Oh, I haven't seen that episode yet.
Okay, it's a new one. But anyway.
What is going on?
I don't know.
Go back to the topic.
Yes, let's go back to CSS Tricks. CSS Tricks was not that, you know. It was not a bunch of like ads and crap everywhere. It was like the old way, I guess. Article, you know, easy to read.
Well, there were ads. They were just blocked by your ad blocker.
No, but I mean, like, it was not like ads were taking the overhand of the whole thing, you know?
But the weird thing is, I read in the post, so maybe we should preface this.
Yeah.
So we are doing this episode because Chris Coyier wrote a blog post about the situation.
Yeah, so Chris Coyier was the owner of CSS Tricks.
Yeah.
So... did we already say that? But he sold it in 2022, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Yeah, I think so. In 2022, he sold it in March to DigitalOcean. And he recently shared a blog post about what exactly happened afterwards. I don't know if he shared anything at all about, you know, CSS Tricks being gone and, you know, his life in between, I guess. But yeah, he recently did, and it's kind of interesting to see what happened, and it's a mess.
Yeah, it's like behind the scenes what's going on, because there's like rumors, and there's a lot of, because CSS Tricks was a very loved resource for the tech front-end community.
Yeah, there was a very big community behind it, I think.
That as well. Yeah, with all the comments and all the, like, the social aspect of it was a big part of why CSS Tricks was loved. I think in a way people really like so change is one thing, people hate change, but another thing is change for the worse, or change for something that people have no idea if it's going to be positive or negative.
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be negative, then it's just a cluster bomb of like people started hating DigitalOcean.
Yeah.
And
I think that's kind of fair, to be honest.
Yeah. Like there's more things we can talk about in a minute.
Yep.
And DigitalOcean is kind of scary and weird with their layoffs and stuff.
Because,
so what happened after he sold CSS Tricks to DigitalOcean?
I don't know. Just to quickly touch on that, I guess. So he sold it because he was also overworked, I think.
Yeah. He's also running CodePen.
Running CodePen, and it's also a very big company. So yeah, I don't know. I think most of the writing and stuff he handed off to one of his editors, Jeff, I guess.
Is it Jeff or Geoff?
Yeah, I don't know. I think
how do you pronounce that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It depends, right? Some people will probably say Jeff and not a Geoff. I don't know. But anyway, so he was not that busy with it. But, you know, if someone arrives with a big sack of cash and also, like, they say, like, hey, but then you don't have to run it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, it seemed like the perfect match because DigitalOcean had a lot of back-end related documentation. They had this huge resource of documentation about how to run apps and units, Unix.
And they had, like, you know, they had also a kind of a community, I guess.
Oh, yes. They also had comments and stuff. They probably still do under all their posts.
So they had a community, they had the money, they had, like, you know, the people for it. So the match was, like, it was a great match. Let's just say that. So, yeah, I get why he sold it. Also, one of the things was that they would remove all the ads from the website, from CSS tricks.
And that is beautiful.
And the only ad they would, you know, put on there was for DigitalOcean.
Yeah, powered by DigitalOcean. Yeah. Or use DigitalOcean because we're good.
So, I mean, it all sounds like perfect, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just you sell your website, get a bunch of money. It will keep running with a bigger company behind it, ads removed, and everything will be exactly the same as it was.
Yeah.
And it was for a little bit.
Yeah. And I do want to mention, like, DigitalOcean was such a positive thing for a lot of people. It has been instrumental in helping a lot of people transition from, like, a college student, a graduate, into, like, a professional developer who can build and design entire backends.
Yeah.
Like, they had, like, their $5 a month droplets that you could, like, explore software and, like, run production, like, benchmarks and stuff.
Yeah.
So DigitalOcean was, like, the perfect place to build your application from zero and host your stuff. And then you have CSS Tricks would be like the opposite, where you would approach the project from front end. So imagine combining all those types of resources into one.
Front and back end in one.
And back end in one.
I mean, not necessarily in one, but run by one company.
Yeah, like, oh my God. And it would be community driven a bit.
Yeah.
And also they would have a specific group of people within the company that would do the community aspect of all these projects.
So what happened was it was running fine for a while. And then suddenly, a few new people were also writing articles. So that's great because before it was mainly Jeff, I think, and a few underneath him. But now there were more people joining in.
Yeah.
So that's always nice.
I think it used to be that on CSS Tricks, people would get invited to talk about or write about a specific topic as well.
Yeah, I do remember like Brad Frost or something writing something on CSS Tricks, I think, for example.
Like, if you have a big name in the like front or web world, you would probably get invited by Chris Coyer, like, hey, do you want to write a blog post for us?
Yeah.
And it would be a pretty like random blog post sometimes. It's a topic that is not directly front end sometimes even, or it's a bit more philosophical or something.
Yeah, again, like this website was not just for your tech, you know, information. It was also news and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just other interesting topics. But everything was going well for a while, and then they fired Jeff and everyone else working on the content and the community.
Oof. How does that happen? Like, what is the reason a company just lays off a whole group of people that are responsible for like the front facing part of their company?
Yeah, well, so this was around the time that a lot of companies were firing, especially tech companies, I guess, they were firing people. So DigitalOcean probably also had, you know, reasons to fire a bunch of people, probably financial reasons, yeah. But who knows?
Yeah, when like there's never a motivation why people get fired at tech companies. A lot of times it's...
It depends on the company too, I guess.
Yeah.
I know there's a bunch of companies that do like, they like to rotate people a lot of times.
Okay.
That's kind of weird, but they just fire like... they don't look at like, oh, we're the top people or something and just fire the bottom part or something, but they just you know, fire.
They refresh the whole thing.
Yes, they just fire like 50% and then they...
Fresh blood.
They hire 50 new people, 50% new people, you know.
That makes no sense to me, but...
Yeah, okay. I don't know how that works. I mean, luckily we're not in the USA, so we don't know.
Maybe it's like contract stuff where people are like, if you keep them longer than 2 years, the contracts will... be very expensive.
What I do know is that like we living in Europe, I guess, are like protected from this kind of bullshit because we have like fixed contracts, and if they want to fire us, they have to pay us months and they have to let it know months in advance that they are going to fire you. So we are in a lot better position to prevent this weird stuff. I think it's also kind of due to COVID though. Like I do know that a lot of companies hired more people before or during COVID.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you know, the profits were going down. Yeah. I don't really believe that, to be honest. were going down and they had to fire people. I honestly think that a lot of companies were just hiring a lot of new people. And then afterwards they were like, yeah, but, you know, we can earn more money by not having this amount of people. So you just fired a bunch.
Yeah, and it's like, I can understand if you brought on a lot of fat, you know, like your company doesn't need as much.
Yeah, but I mean, people. Like they didn't hire 50% during COVID, you know, so why would you fire 50%? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. I honestly think like there's something weird going on with a lot of companies.
And yeah, it's like usually when you hire too many people, it's like project-based stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand, like, it's a very narrow situation where you're cutting out, like, technical writers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like they don't want to be, like, I don't know, like, it's a lot of community things.
Yeah.
You get to know about DigitalOcean through their documentation, for example. So if they don't release new and updated articles...
Mm-hmm.
If you, as a new developers, will look up how to set up things,
yeah,
will you come across DigitalOcean that often anymore? I don't think so.
No, but I mean, like...
They don't need that as... It's a really nice, organic way to market your product and your services.
Yeah, I but think. They probably went just in a different direction, right? I mean, they used to be smaller. I mean, they were always a pretty big company, I guess, but... They were more aiming at like developers and, you know, trying to convince them so they can tell their peers like, hey, DigitalOcean, we should try that. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're currently, you know, they scratched that whole idea and they're now like, okay, let's just focus on big instead of, you know, the smaller steps to get there. And I kind of get it. I mean, this is a bit of an assumption also from Chris Coyer in this article that he says that they... wanted the directional change and they decided to screw content and community.
But again, I don't understand how that is ever an abundance. There's no abundance of that. I think that there should always be content and community. That should always be a big part of bigger enterprises.
Yeah, I do. I agree. It's just like it doesn't directly profit you in the end. So I think it's very easy to look at, you know, look at it very basically and be like, this is not giving us directly money, so let's stop doing it because it's costing us money.
I guess. I still think it's a very healthy way to keep that part of your company.
Yeah, I agree.
It also creates a certain feeling of respect for the company where they not only have products you pay for and are behind a subscription or, you know, registration, but they also have public resources that are open source and maybe like community driven.
Yeah.
I feel like me as a developer who, especially like when I started out, I'm not going to spend money on hosting my projects. I want it as cheap as possible. But if I notice that DigitalOcean, for example, has a ton of articles with experts, and a lot of people are like advocating for their products by developers, you know, on Reddit and stuff. They're like, oh yeah, I like to do my DigitalOcean droplets, this and that. I'm like, okay, so maybe I should get a droplet there.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a way more healthy and natural way of, you know, getting in contact with a company where you can actually see that people love the company.
I mean, I totally get it, but I'm looking at the stock prices for DigitalOcean for the past 5 years now. And
Has it been going up?
Yes.
What?
Yes. I mean, there was they had a huge spike in 2021 for some reason, and it was going down kind of steadily.
Okay.
And then in 2023, it was slowly going up again. There was a little bump again at the end of 2023, and now it's going up again. But it's not like...
So in total, it's been higher now ever than...
No. I mean, in 2021, it was very high, but okay. I don't know necessarily why, because I don't know enough about the company. Oh, that's also...
Is it peak COVID or like directly in when people...
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's the end of 2021. No idea why it's so high.
Maybe a lot of companies started using DigitalOcean for a while.
If I look at like the maximum amount of like the range, maybe they went to market at 2021, the beginning of 2021, and not
like public.
Yeah, not public. Yeah, I'm not completely sure, to be honest.
Well, we're no.
It is the holding itself was created. Oh wait, 2016. I'm very confused.
Whatever it is.
Like, they didn't fire these people because there was like a huge dip or something, you know? It was not like, oh no, the company's going down, let's fire some people.
Yeah, we need to cut the fat off.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, stock-wise, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So,
I feel also, like, I remember back in 2020, DigitalOcean laid off a lot of their technical documentation writers as well. Because, you know, they did take over CSS Tricks. But that was after they laid off their previously hired community-driven community project people. Hmm. So I'm kind of confused why they acquired CSS Tricks after they already were laying off people who were doing articles, like technical writers, I would say.
There can be so many reasons, right? I mean, maybe the people that they had hired were not doing the job well. I don't think so.
Well,
maybe it was cheaper to buy CSS Tricks than to keep those people hired. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe they were like, oh, we might.
They were trying to build a community maybe, and it didn't work as fast as they wanted to. And it was like just a money pit. Yeah. And then they were like, well, CSS Tricks works and it runs well. Let's just grab that. I mean, a lot of companies do that, right? They just grab whatever they want because it already like built.
So I have a message here on Y Combinator. I think it is probably Reddit. Y Combinator combines like things from Reddit, I think. Mm-hmm. it's a username called Rayu. And hey folks, co-founder of DigitalOcean here. Oh, letting people go is always a complicated matter at any scale, whether you are at 10-person company and firing one employee, or you are a 500 people and firing a larger number. Wanted to address a few statements from the Hacker News community here. We are not prepping the company for sale. As unfortunate as the layoffs are, they were really due to two CEO changes in the past 18 months and leadership changes that created competing directions in the business, which Yancy, our new CEO, is now addressing. We are not running out of money, nor do we have an immediate need to raise capital.
Those like words make me think that those things are exactly what are happening right now.
Yep. And the layoffs aren't related to any sort of cost cutting. We last raised an equity round in the summer of 2015 and haven't had a need to raise capital since. This is because we are very capital efficient and have been since our founding. And he ends with there are no profitability issues with the $5 a month customers, as the unit economics are the same as larger accounts. As we have grown, we have added more products and features so that scaling teams and companies can also be successful on DigitalOcean. But we are not changing our commitment to the individual developer and those who are just getting started.
Okay.
Lastly, it pains me to see people let go, having been on both sides of the table. It honestly just really sucks. And I just, so there are comments about below this, and maybe we should share this thread on our podcast so you can read. It's like a back and forth between this co-founder of DigitalOcean.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bit older, 2020, but again, my question kind of remains, and I think this will forever remain, is what do you do with the news that tech companies are firing people left and right?
Yeah.
Right? You hear this and you're like, oh shit, my company or the company that I'm using a product of
mm-hmm.
or I'm using their resources from, this company is firing people. How does that influence me?
Yeah.
And how does that influence their products and services? And I don't think we have a clear answer, but apparently a lot of things that get cut are people in the company that create articles mm-hmm. for the public. It's kind of sad because it's a very useful resource in a lot of cases.
It is. It's also like you said there that the CEO switched like two times, for example, yeah. right? So that's also a lot of CEOs like to fire a bunch of people because that immediately gives them more money. Like it immediately reduces expenses they have.
It's like they have more to spend and they can maybe...
No, it's more like they can say like, hey, I will cut down the costs 20% in the next year. And they say like, they just fire a bunch of people and it's like, hey, look at the numbers.
Yeah.
We've lost less with 20%, just like I promised. Yeah. That's how they do it a lot of times.
And in the long run, it might affect them negatively.
Well, in the long run, they will just build it up again if necessary.
Yeah.
But, you know, they at least have that immediate like power, I guess.
It's funny because I think like a lot of these companies have built their reputation and their like trust with the community by having these kind of projects.
Yeah.
And then after a while, a new CEO arrives and he's like, okay, let's cut this off. And technically they have a point, honestly,
sure.
because
yeah.
they have already, DigitalOcean already had a good and positive reputation with the developer community. Mm-hmm. So they didn't need them for advertising and marketing.
No, they probably already have like huge clients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is not ethically, in my opinion, the like morally, maybe even the best choice to make, you know, cutting off that part of your company. But it is a very strategic.
This is like capitalism 101, right?
I guess.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
So what happened to Chris Coyer?
What happened? Yeah. He was eventually, after everyone got fired and it was dying down, no one was posting anything anymore. He contacted DigitalOcean after internally at DigitalOcean, a lot of things also switched around, mm-hmm. I guess. And he was like, hey, maybe you should, you know, hire me and try to fix it again. And, you know.
Yeah.
Let me rebuild the team and let me write and let me, you know.
Yeah. And that hits close to home when you see a project that you've worked on for years.
Yeah.
Being just taken over by someone else.
It's and then, on fire. And no one is like putting it out.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, please let me just.
Like years of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me please just fix this. And I would honestly think it's definitely not for the money.
Yeah.
For Chris Coyer.
Like no.
The motivation is just because he is passionate about that project and he believes having resources like these are important.
Yeah, I can't imagine he was like, oh yeah, this is another way to earn some extra money. I don't think so. It started in 2007. Like it's his little baby.
Yep. Well, it's grown up to be a druggie, I guess.
It's yeah.
No work anymore.
No work anymore. But so he tried to get it back, I guess. And then after a long pause, they didn't, you know, they didn't go through with it because, well, the contact he had at DigitalOcean had to like convince their peers, I guess, to hire Chris again.
Yeah.
And yeah, Chris kind of words it in a interesting way, but what was it? Oh, here it is. I wouldn't want to be handed a huge golden nugget by my boss and then ask for a meeting and be like, I think we should give it back to the leprechaun. I mean,
yeah,
I get that.
If you like, for example, you get handed Sucestrix, like, hey, take over.
Take this piece of gold.
Yeah, and work with this and make it more valuable. And it's like, it goes down to the shitter.
Yeah.
Maybe not because of you, but it's like you don't have the people to keep that whole thing running anymore.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, let's just give it back. It's like, why did we buy it in the first place?
Yeah.
It from a money strategic standpoint, yeah, you're not going to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the bottom line, it's all about the money for these kind of situations, sadly enough.
Yeah.
When Chris Courier sells or sold CSS-Trix, sure, money is important. But I think the biggest thing is he found a matching company that actually will provide the process and the people to keep CSS-Trix running.
Mm-hmm.
And it to see it like blunder and become a dumpster fire is really saddening.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then trying to get it back is like a no-go, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, at the bottom line, like what's the end result? It's now stale forever, right? Like it's just dead.
Yep.
It's so weird. If you go to CSS-Trix, which is like CSS-Trix, right? .com. What is it? Yeah. Oh, that it's like at their homepage, it's like a huge article. Passkeys. What the heck and why?
Yeah. That's the last thing.
Yeah. That's an article from 2023. It's like engraved into the tombstone of CSS-Trix.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting random article about something that's more back-end related.
Mm-hmm.
And CSS-Trix is obviously, it always was front-end focused. But yeah, it's a sad thing to say, but is CSS-Trix dead and gone now?
I mean, maybe there's like a small glimmer of hope, but yeah, I don't think it will be revived, to be honest, unless Chris can figure a way out to get it back, I guess.
Yeah,
but
what if he starts it over and calls it something else?
Yeah, but that's the thing, like yes, like CodePen, you know.
Yeah, and CodePen also has articles, by the way,
and building a community, you know, from scratch is very tough.
Yeah.
Even if CSS-Trix has kind of burned down, I do think that if he would get it back in a way and restart it, a lot of people will, you know, go back to it again. And I think that is more valuable than starting something from nothing.
Yeah.
But I also do think that this format of, you know, blogging about tech in this way is not very relevant anymore for the younger generations, I think.
They need to be entertained with moving images.
Yeah, they want TikTok videos of how to write CSS, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm like, now I sound like an old man.
I think that you have a point, though, where reading, just like consuming resources by literally reading,
yeah,
is not enough. You have to keep the younger generation entertained in a way. And you have to have like examples and videos and stuff, and yeah, sure, you can include that in your articles, but
yeah,
what's better and quicker? Make like a, I don't know, 15 to 30 second video and then getting millions of views, or writing an article that is researched and that you have like resources all collected, and then yeah, you only get like, I don't know, 1,000 clicks.
Yeah, I mean, quality-wise, that would probably be a lot better, but
it's very important. Like for me, if I'm looking up modern CSS tricks,
yeah,
I'm still preferring like an article with maybe a screenshot or two. But
yeah,
I would love Like, that's the thing. CodePen embeds would be great.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, for me, more useful than a video.
Yeah, I agree. It's just not the way that our brains work.
Maybe.
Anymore.
So what's the main takeaway? Like, it's really sad to see this happen to community projects like CSS Tricks. And like another thing was also I noticed like Mozilla and MDN,
yeah,
the Mozilla Developer
Network.
I think is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's also a project that's kind of dying out, and they laid off a lot of their writers a couple years ago as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was like an uproar of developers who were like, "Oh shit, my favorite resource on the web is gonna die out."
Mine too.
Yep.
I think it's kind of weird. I don't know. It's like there are more developers right now than there have ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And all those places where you can find like resources for development are all dying out. Like, yep. How does it work?
That's what I'm also confused about. We need these kind of resources more than ever. But the last article written on on these places is like from years ago.
And to be honest, I think also like Stack Overflow, for example, it's still going, but I do have a feeling like a lot of times when I'm looking at Stack Overflow, it's very old articles. Like there's nothing really, recently posted.
Is it maybe the coming of AI where people are just requesting or like...
So I am kind of afraid that, instead of going to resources on the web, you just, use Copilot or whatever, mm-hmm. and just use that as a tool. And I'm worried about all that.
That's kind of scary.
Those tools don't think about code.
Nope.
They just look it up also on the internet.
They're based on previous
It's all snippets. Stack Overflow articles and CSS Tricks and DigitalOcean, and it all mashes that together and then serves it to you. But what happens when those communities die out and then, there's no real, correct resource anymore because Copilot and all these what's it called again? Those learning algorithms, I guess.
Yeah.
They don't know and understand how it works.
Yeah. I think a big part of development is premeditated design. I think AI might get there one day, but currently, definitely, AI doesn't know exactly what the goal and function of your application is.
Yeah,
and what kind of style it has to be built in. You'll just get a Frankenstein of a project.
Yeah.
If you just focus all your resources on AI.
Yeah, I would not even call it AI, to be honest, because it's not.
Yeah, it's just rehashes of open source projects.
Yeah. It's not an intelligence. Like, it just grabs texts from somewhere else and just serves it to you in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's what's called LLM, I guess, large language models.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a good point. And I wish we had more developers who were like younger developers. I'm curious. I'm going to ask around actually. And maybe if you are a young developer listening to this episode.
Yeah.
What do you use for your resources,
mm-hmm.
for your front end, your back end? Do you know about DigitalOcean? Do you know about CSS Tricks? Or do you just open up your VS Code editor and use Copilot or a similar AI tool? I'm curious. And yeah, maybe that's another topic, is what exactly do we get from AI as a developer?
Yeah.
What is it? Is it like a qualitative result? And how do you maybe use it to make your product better? Or can you make it better?
Well, we've already talked about that though.
Yeah, but I want to go again because it's 2024 now.
It's a hot topic still.
I think it's good to go back to this because AI is still such a hot topic, and it influenced us in certain ways we actually are not aware of. I think part of this is like the article and like community projects of big companies.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big part of it, why it's dying down, is just people aren't looking that shit up on the internet.
Yeah, maybe. I'm curious. I'll also ask around, maybe. Yeah. I know a few young developers.
All right. Shall we say goodbye to our listeners?
Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, so don't shake your sleeves because you might get a hairball.
Oh, nice callback to the first minute.
Uh-huh. But do always have something up your sleeves because having a magic trick is always impressive.
Wow.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, I can't top that. So, bye.
Wise words.
Yes.
Wise words.
Bye-bye.